Well, the risk came to Keith Richards in a dream one night in May of 1965. He was in his hotel room in Clearwater, Florida. It was the Rolling Stones' third U.S. tour. He woke up. He grabbed his guitar and he grabbed a cassette recorder and he played a run of notes and then he fell back asleep. Later he said, "On the tape you can hear me drop the pick," and the rest of the tape was simply him snoring. Mick Jagger later said that the song was his view of the world, his frustration with everything. Inspired by that riff and the title line, Richard's idea, Jagger wrote the words, "A litany of disgust with, quote, America, its advertising syndrome, the constant barrage," end quote. He wrote it in 10 minutes. He wrote it by the motel pool the day after Richard's dream. This article from the Australia Rolling Stones magazine website may help to transport you back in time to you cruising around with the window down and the wind blowing through your hair, listening and singing along with the words, "I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. I can't get no." Long before the Rolling Stones sang it, another man penned similar words. We find them in the Bible. We find them in the book of Ecclesiastes. I would ask you to go there if you would, please. If you're not there already, if you have a hard time finding it, just find the book of Psalms. Open your Bible towards the middle. Find Psalms. Then you'll find Proverbs. And then you'll find Ecclesiastes. And we introduced this book to you last week, a series we're calling Life Under the Sun. And today we're going to dive in with both feet and start learning and looking at the book as we go through it passage by passage. Now, I got to warn you, if you have to leave early today, you're going to miss something very important. And so if you have to leave early, if you slip out, be sure sometime this week you go online and listen to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. We saw last week that Solomon kind of gives this summary at the very beginning. He says, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." In other words, life is transient, life is meaningless. There's no true satisfaction under the sun. And we looked at those first two verses. We're going to go back and we'll read the first two verses again. And we're going to add to them today our passage, verses 3 through 11. Would you follow along as I read the Word of God? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. This is Solomon. "Vanity of vanity," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And then we find, starting at the next verse, he begins to show us why. We come to our text for today, verse 3. "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again." You see this cycle being talked about. Verse 8, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." Sounds like the Rolling Stones, doesn't it? "I can't get no satisfaction. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which may be said, 'See, this is new'? It has already been in ancient times before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after." It sounds very depressing, very distressing, very perplexing, these words here in the Word of God. In verse 3, he asks a very important question. What profit? What advantage? What outcome? What's the result of all of man's and women's labor from which we labor under the sun? Now, when he talks about labor there, don't just think about a job. Don't think about a career. He's talking about life. What value? What advantage? What purpose? What do we get from living life and all that goes along with life and all this hard work that we do? What's the use of it? What do we get from it? Well, he asks the question, and then we read the comments that he gives right after the question, and he says pretty much we get nothing. We get nothing. There's no profit whatsoever for this life under the sun. We could state it another way, and it sounds so counter to us, but your hard work won't pay off. That's basically what he's saying. What do you get for living all this life under the sun? You get nothing. And he begins to show why he says that. And he teaches us four reasons why life under the sun is without profit, without advantage. It's no use. It's worthless. It's meaningless. You won't get any satisfaction. And he brings out these four things. He says, first of all, basically and very bluntly, you're going to die. You're going to die. He doesn't waste any time. He jumps right in verse 4 talking about it. He says, one generation comes, another generation goes. Death and births, this cycle. Generation after generation. You can labor, you can sweat, you can toil. You can do everything right in life, and yet you're still going to die. Kind of reminds me of an email I got, I think it was just this past week. Apple News sends me email summaries, and you know what it is. They send you the email summary hoping that you'll click on the link and go read the article. And one headline, I kid you not, that was sent to me, I think just this past week, was this headline, How to Die in Good Health. How to Die in Good Health. I guess you'll make a prettier corpse. I'm not sure. The whole point, though, is you're still going to die. You may die in good health. You may die in poor health. But you're still going to die. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes for us first in the rapture. And we need to come to grips with that and prepare for that and live with that reality in mind that we're going to die. You know, we used to live in Knoxville. I grew up in northeastern North Carolina and went off to school in Pennsylvania and then part of Virginia, then came back and I pastored my home church. And then we moved from there to Knoxville. And we used to be season pass holders at Dollywood. And my favorite ongoing show in Dollywood is a show that takes place in the Pines Theater. Now, I'll give you a little travel advice here. If you go to Dollywood and you're very hot and you're sweaty and you want to cool off, go to the Pines Theater because it's air-conditioned. Furthermore, you can get you some popcorn and a drink and you can sit down and watch a show there. And the show is called Dreamland Drive-In. Dreamland.Drive-In. I first saw this show. We watched it when we lived in Knoxville, so it's been at least 20 years we've been watching this show. And we were there just the other summer, and we went back and watched the show again. It's the same show. The singers, the actors, I'm sure, have changed over the years. But it's a show that is set in the 1950s, and you're watching this drive-in. You remember the drive-in theater. In fact, we can still go to the drive-in theater here, right, where we live. But you go to the drive-in theater, and it's there in the 50s, and so you have the sock hops. And what the show does is it walks through the decades from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s, and they're singing and dancing all that music from those generations and from those decades. And it goes from the 1950s up to the early 2000s. And what they do to kind of fast forward in time, that's what's so amazing. You're kind of moving through time very rapidly. I guess the show is about an hour. And you're moving through time very rapidly. Is they have a screen and they show images of the sights and the scenes. And you see Vietnam and you see I Like Ike and you see Elvis. And you see all these things as you move through time. But the interesting thing about it, I just love you kind of go through time, is the reality is most of the folks that they highlight are dead. They're dead. They're not dancing and singing and entertaining anymore. They're dead. The reality is we're all going to die. And he says very bluntly here, one generation comes, another generation goes. We're going to die. But right now, we're still alive. And so Solomon has some more encouraging words for us here. Now remember, I told you, please don't leave early. But some more encouraging words. And it's this, even while you're living. So you're not dead yet. Some of you I'm questioning. But anyway, you're not dead yet. But while you're living, you'll never be satisfied. That's what he says. Look at verse 8. I'll read it to you in the NLT. Everything is wearisome beyond description. Some of you might want to take that as your life verse. I'm not sure. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. We move along wearily through life, hoping we can find something to satisfy us, and we come up empty. I remember the old Snickers commercials growing up. It really satisfies. That's not true. You eat one, you want a second one. Especially the small ones. It doesn't really satisfy. We can't see enough to satisfy ourselves. We fill our eyes with screens and sights and entertainment, but we're always looking for something new. We want to see something new. We fill our ears. We can't hear enough to satisfy. We have millions of songs, I guess, now. I know in our house, I can just speak into the air and it just plays from the little device. Imagine if we'd had that growing up. Wouldn't that have been awesome? You didn't have to go through your cassette tapes or your CDs or your 8-tracks or your records. I'm trying to cover the decades here and the generations. By the way, the records are coming back. They're a lot more expensive than they used to be. But we have millions of songs. What are we looking for? Have you heard this new song? We're looking for the new song. The Swifties have lost their minds. I've seen it on social media. They've lost their minds listening to her new album. Because we want to hear something new. We just want to see something and hear something. We can't get satisfied. We see one thing, want to see something else. We hear one thing, want to hear something else. We're kind of like the donkey. There is the carrot hanging, and we're trying to chase that carrot, and we can't get to it. And even if we get to it, we want another carrot. It doesn't satisfy. Like the Rolling Stones, I can't get no satisfaction. You'll never be satisfied under the sun. Solomon has some more encouragement for us here. Aren't you glad you came today? Number one, you're going to die. Number two, you'll never be satisfied while you live. And thirdly, while you live, you'll be bored. Some of you say, I'm there now. Well, don't tell me. Look at verse 9 and 10. History, I'm reading from the NLT. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We're looking for something new. We're looking for something exciting. And the moment we experience it, sadly, it leaves us wanting more. It leaves us feeling empty. You ever went after a goal, and you finally achieve that goal, and there for a moment you're excited about it, and wow, I met the goal, but then it kind of flees from you, and all of a sudden you've got to come up with a new goal and something else to reach for. Now, how could it be that Solomon could say there's nothing new? I mean, come on, Solomon. We have iPhones. I think we hold in our hands something more powerful than what put a man on the moon years ago. We have this in our hand. We've got liquid crystal televisions, and we've got computers, and we've got cars that drive themselves. That's frightening to think about. I know in my van, I can push a button, take my hands off the wheel, and it'll steer itself in the curve. How can you say there's nothing new? Well, when you think about it, beloved, a lot of what we see today is just a new way to do what we've always done before. Think about communicating, whether it's through an iPhone or a big screen TV or on a stage. What is that? It's just communicating through words and pictures. We can go back to a cave and we can see pictures drawn on the side of the cave. We can read words that have been recorded. Jim Winters said, new technology enables us to do the same things in a different way, or at least a little more quickly. At its best, it can alleviate suffering and prolong life for a little longer. At its worst, it enables man to inflict greater suffering upon greater numbers with less effort. Think about all that we do. We got a dishwasher. They've been washing dishes for a long time. It's just quicker. It's just easier. We got a washing machine. They used to go down to the stream and wash those clothes, right? So many things that we have today, it's just doing the same thing in a new way. Furthermore, really, we could say everything that we have new, whether it's an iPhone or whatever it might be, is made with stuff that's already been here. It's just taking elements that existed, rearranging them, putting them together, melting them down, reforming them, and using them for a new purpose. He says, listen, there's really nothing new. And because of that boredom, how is it possible that we're bored? We have more entertainment at our fingertips than any generation who's ever walked upon planet Earth. And yet, what do we hear? If you're a parent, you ever heard it? I'm bored. You learn real quickly when you're growing up, if some of us in our generations, you never told your parents that because they made sure that you weren't bored anymore. How is it that we're bored? Because the pleasure, the high, the excitement, it doesn't last. Someone put it so eloquently, I love this. There's only one thing that never gets boring. God. God never gets boring. There's no profit under the sun. Why? Well, you're going to die. And while you live, before you die, you're never going to be satisfied under the sun. And you're going to be bored. And then when you get to the point when you die, here's some more encouragement for you. You know what it is? You're going to be forgotten. Imagine that. Born, bored, forgotten. Imagine that on the tombstone. Born, bored, forgotten. You'll be forgotten. You'll be forgotten. Look at verses 4 through 7. Generations come and generations go. You know, I've experienced that as a pastor. There have been weeks where I've done a funeral one day, and I've gone to the hospital to welcome a new baby on another day. Generations come and generations go. I'm reading from the NLT. But the earth never changes. The sun rises, the sun sets, then hurries along to rise again. The wind blows south, then turns north. Around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Now drop down to verse 11. We don't remember what happened in the past. And in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. In other words, beloved, this old world is going to go spinning around and around and around when you stop. You'll be forgotten. You realize that generations have met in this building prior to us. Going back for many, many generations on this very land where we are, generations have met. And we have forgotten most of them. Oh, sure, we might look at an old picture, but we struggle to remember who they are. We may talk about those that immediately preceded us that we can within our memory, but we go back 100 years, and really, we have forgotten. The reality is that people are going to forget you when you're gone. In fact, most don't know you now. Did you realize, Zach Eswan observed, if we stop and think about it, we've never heard of almost everyone who has ever lived. We've never heard of them. Never heard of them. No idea. As I said before, on a tombstone, born, bored, forgotten. How's that for a life? No wonder Solomon said, all is vanity. All is meaningless. It's without purpose. But here's the key you've got to remember. I gave it to you last week. Some of you may remember. It's the key phrase you've got to hold on to. It's the key that unlocks a lot of what we're going to study in Ecclesiastes. And it's that phrase. Do you remember the phrase? It's the phrase under the sun. S-U-N. Under the sun. What Solomon's talking about here is living life under the sun. That is living life without God. Living life with a perfectly human explanation, human understanding, just living life, no concept of God, no thought of God, no looking to God, no looking above the sun, but just looking under the sun. Just looking around what you can observe and feel and experience and taste, just looking at life without God. And looking at life without God, this is what you get. You'll not be satisfied. You'll keep looking. You'll be bored because there's really nothing new. Then you're going to die and everybody's going to forget you. That's life under the sun. Now, here's the good news. We don't have to live like that. Life does not have to be like that. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't just live life under the sun. You have eternal life, and you have it right now. In fact, here's the wonderful thing that God tells us. I'm going to give you the references as I read these verses. In John chapter 10, verse 10, here's what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Well, that sure sounds a lot different than Solomon's estimation, doesn't it? Life more abundantly. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who labor." What's Solomon talking about? Life, laboring. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest." That's what Jesus said. I love what 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," and he's talking to Christians, "be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." See, this is looking at life above the sun. Looking at life in the sun, that is S-O-N, living life with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as we think about this idea of satisfaction and boredom and death and being forgotten, the Bible tells us some wonderful things. The Bible tells us we don't have to lack satisfaction. The Rolling Stones song doesn't have to be our theme song. In fact, Psalm 16:11 says that the Lord said at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. We can find true satisfaction in the Lord and His goodness. We don't have to be bored. Did you know that? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for the believer, He's ordained good works for us to do. He has things for you to do. He has things for me to do. We don't have to be bored wondering what to do with life. He has things for us to do. Here's something else. You don't have to die without hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. We're going to be with the Lord forever as a believer in Jesus Christ. And here's other good news. You know what? We don't have to be forgotten once we're gone. Because John 14, 1 and 3 says we will be with Jesus forever and ever. In fact, it says He's preparing a place for us. And if He prepares a place for us, He'll come and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. We're not going to be forgotten. We're going to be with the Lord forever. Do you see how a change of view changes everything? Life under the sun, just looking at life apart from God, what does that lead to? Doom and gloom. And death and no satisfaction and just meaningless, no purpose really at all. But life with the sun, S-O-N, results in joy and gladness. Philip Ryken said something that you need to hear. He reminds us of something very important. He says, remember this, whenever you get frustrated, you ever get frustrated? When you get sad, when you get angry, when you get disappointed with everything in life that's getting broken, falling apart, and going wrong, remember this. When you feel overwhelmed and you're tempted to wonder why you should even bother. Why bother with your work? Why bother with the relationship? Why bother with your faith? Here's what he says. Don't forget this. You, beloved, were made for a new and better world. The very fact that you're weary of this life is pointing you to Jesus as the only one who can satisfy your soul. You see, life here with its struggles and its trials, it should remind us that we weren't made just for this life. We're made for Him. We're made for them. We're made for there. Another world. And we can rejoice in that. When are we going to learn, beloved, that only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longings of our life? As I told you last week, you get this right, then guess what? You get to enjoy all the things here as well. Because your hope is not in these things. Your hope is in the Lord. And then you begin to realize, well, my hope is in the Lord. That never changes. There's joy, peace, significance, satisfaction, meaning, all of that. And now as I live life here, I realize He's blessing me with all of these blessings. And even when things go wrong, He'll sustain me. He'll walk with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. In fact, He not only does that, when things go wrong here, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, He's going to take all those things, work them together for what? For my good. And His glory. Only Jesus can satisfy you, beloved. Rabbi Harold Kushner tells about a man who came to him. And he sought him out for counseling. And the man told Rabbi Kushner this story. I want to share it with you. He said, 2 weeks ago, for the first time in my life, I went to a funeral. And it was a funeral for a man of my own age. I didn't know him well, but we worked together. We talked to each other from time to time. We had kids about the same age. He said that this man died suddenly over the weekend. And a bunch of us went to the funeral, each of us thinking it could have just as easily been me. He told Rabbi Kushner that was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. They've already replaced him at the office. I hear his wife is moving out of state to live with her parents. 2 weeks ago, he was working 50 feet away from me, and now it's as if he never existed. It's like a rock falling into a pool of water, and then the water is the same as it was before, but the rock isn't there anymore. He said, Rabbi, I've hardly slept at all since then. I can't stop thinking that it could happen to me. And a few days later, I'll be forgotten as if I never lived. Shouldn't a man's life be more than that? And can I just tell you, beloved, the answer is yes. A man's life, a woman's life is more than that. And it can be. How? When that man or woman's life is brought in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, that brings about purpose and significance and eternality to that life. Because we know that we were not made just for this life under the sun. We were made to have a life eternal with the Lord Jesus. Never forget, beloved, only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longings of your life. Look to Him, rest to Him, and let Him do that for you in your life. Can we pray together? Father, thank You for what You're teaching us. Thank You that we don't just have Solomon's words here, but we have the rest of the Scripture. Thank You for the joy that is ours in Christ. Thank You for loving us, for saving us. And I pray, Father, if someone here does not know Christ, does not have that purpose, that meaning in their life, would You bring them to saving faith in Christ this morning? And then for those of us who belong to Christ, help us to remember this as we walk through this life, because it's so easy, Father, to look to this or that or to put our hopes somewhere else than in the Lord. So work in our hearts and lives and bless these words to our spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.